Good. Okay, let's pray together as you are signing off. If your team just gives me Psalm 119 verse 18, let's start with prayer to ask God to help us, to really help us and guide us through the next ministration. Psalm 119 verse 18, I can quote it for you. It says that, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. So that's Psalm 119 verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And I just want to use that to start this morning as we go into the word of God together. I ask God to really open the eyes of everybody listening, the eyes of their spirit, first and foremost, then the eyes of their understanding, secondly, and then finally, the eyes, their physical eyes, that they may see the wondrous things out of the Word of God. I pray that God will allow us to enter into His realm. In fact, the word allow is probably not accurate because He has already allowed us. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And today, I just want to bring us not just at the level of His birth, but to just take us more into the things that God has accomplished. So I shared earlier on with your technical team that I want us to look a bit into resurrection, ascension, Christ, and His body. So resurrection, ascension, Christ, and His body. I give you as a word for you to study in the months ahead. I think to fall into like June or July for you as your normal yearly thing, but also to just celebrate Christmas, because we're only able to talk about resurrection and ascension, Christ and His body, in the context of His birth. So I pray as we go into the fellowship together that God will open the eyes of everyone who is listening now, or who may listen later, to really see the thing that God is doing, that He has done, is doing, and He will yet still do, in Jesus' name. Again, technical team, please give me 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45. Again, I can quote it for you verbatim while it's coming. It says that, you know, the first Adam was earthy. It says, but the second and last Adam, which is Christ Himself, has become a life-giving spirit. A quickening spirit. And 1 Corinthians 15:45 says, and so it is written, the first man Adam became a living being, or earthly being, but the last Adam, which is Christ, has become a life-giving spirit. And I want us to develop this theme today. But Father, as we go into your word, we just ask for your help. I personally ask that you help me, but I also ask that you help every member of your body who is feeding off your words today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you as our teacher and as our guide to lead us, to guide us, to instruct us, to correct us, to admonish us, to edify us, to lift us into your realm and keep us in your realm. And let us continue to grow, to soar higher and higher in your realm, to see that which you are doing in your realm, and for us to enter into it with you, and join with you, but also enjoy with you. You are our life, you are our source, and this we ask that you help us to do in Jesus' name. Praise God. Let's look at a few scriptures together. So technical team, please, John chapter 14 and verse 10. Let's start from there. John 14 and verse 10. It says, this is Jesus Christ on the way to the cross. So we are celebrating His birth today. His birth, we understand His birth as incarnation. So that is when John chapter 1 verse 14, and the Bible says, and the Word became flesh. And in Him becoming flesh, God stepped into the realms of men. I won't take you through those scriptures, but I'm sure during this season, you have all been looking at the nativity scriptures, Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 in particular. You know, the angel appearing, saying that to Elizabeth, you will have a son, John the Baptist. Zechariah saying, how can these things be? and so that the things that God has planned for the realms of men is not nullified by the utterances of men. Zechariah was made dumb for a season. If you study it, you see that he was dumb for probably practically the 9 months of that pregnancy, of Elizabeth's pregnancy. You go on to study that scripture in Luke chapter 1. The Bible says in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that Mary, having been visited by angel Gabriel, that she will have a child, according to Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, that a virgin, again, very instructive, it's a virgin, not the virgin. But when you study Mary, you will see why she was the virgin. But Isaiah 7:14 says, and a virgin, God himself will give you a sign, Isaiah 7:14, and says that a virgin will be with child. A virgin will be with child. Go on further, Isaiah 9:6, and that unto us a child is born. A child is born. So we are celebrating the birth of that child. The Bible says that Mary said to the angel, a bit different from Zechariah, may it be done unto me. He says, how shall these things be? The angel said, the Most High himself will overshadow you. The Most High himself will overshadow you. This is Matthew chapter 1 verse 18. It says that, and Jesus Christ was a child of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:18, Jesus is a child of the Holy Spirit. So Mary accepted that word. And when you begin to hear Mary's own praise at the further down in Luke chapter 1, you will see that Mary was a woman who was filled, I use the word constituted, completely with God. Because for Zechariah, for Elizabeth, you will see that the Bible says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit when they began to bless God, you know, and then that's for Elizabeth. And then Zechariah further down when he began to prophesy. But you will see the scripture says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But with Mary, you won't see that scripture used at all. So Mary had become so familiar with time, with the word of God, that she just began to praise God from the depth of her own being, and said, may these things be done unto me according to your word. But Mary was very familiar with the entire Old Testament portion of the scripture, that she was expecting this. She knew it was coming, and she made herself available. And when you study Mary, you will see that she was a teenager. She was a teenager. Again, you know, studies will put Mary's age between the ages of 13 and maybe 17. So she was a very young girl. Nevertheless, she was constituted. She was full of God. Now, in the context of what I really want you to appreciate this morning, it's where I believe I want you and I to also get to be so full of God. And we have a greater advantage than Mary at that time, because as we look at some scriptures today, Jesus himself said, I will be with you and I will be in you. He became the life giving spirit. But at the time of Mary, it wasn't like that. Mary just took the scriptures, and the angel said, it shall be like that. And Mary accepted it, and she had the baby. Now, you know the scripture, that's Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 2, Jesus himself was born, you know, and he was taken to the temple. So those are the nativity stories of the incarnation of Jesus Christ that we are celebrating today. We are quite familiar with them. We repeat them again and again in our remembrance of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ during this time of the year that we call Christmas, or the Mass of Christ, which is what Christmas really is. But I don't want us to stop there. So I take us from there and I journey through the whole Bible. I journey through the Gospels in particular. Jesus grows. So we use the word human living. So he was incarnated in Matthew chapter 1 verse 18, being a child of the Holy Spirit. He was incarnated in John chapter 1 verse 14, when he says, and the word became flesh. You know, and studying that scripture, John chapter 1 from verse 1, and the word, we know the word was God, and the word is God, you know. But that word took on humanity, incarnated into the realms of men. But he didn't stop there, so I don't want us to stop there as we celebrate Christmas. He grew. The Bible used the word human living, and he grew for first 12 years. Luke gives us that picture in Luke chapter 2 from verse 40, 41 down, when they were taking an excursion to Jerusalem. And he was staying behind. I don't want to use the word missing. Missing is in the context of Joseph and Mary looking for him from his perspective, from the young Jesus, the 12-year-old Jesus perspective. He wasn't missing. He was in his father's house. was in his father's house, you know. So, but we get a picture there of what he was doing. Verse 44, 45 says that he was listening to the teachings of the doctors, you know, in the synagogues. He was listening to the teaching, and the Bible says that he sat down under the doctors. This is King James now, and he listened to them, and the Bible says they were astonished at the end of verse 45, astonished at his level of understanding. Luke chapter 2, verse 45. So this is Jesus growing. We don't hear anything about Jesus again from the ages of 12 to 30, practically, until when we get to Matthew chapter 3, Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 3, Luke chapter 4, where we then get a clarity of Jesus Christ now, having gone through incarnation, gone through human living, divine birth. I use all these terms. So incarnation, divine birth, human living. But we arrive at where he's preparing to go to the cross. He's preparing to go to the cross. We pass through John chapter 11, where he says to Martha and to Mary, "I am the resurrection and the life." So we begin to understand the purpose of the man Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Luke, that he came to fulfill God's purpose, God's plan for humanity. And God had a process that he was going through. That included, again, I won't take you back through Bible, but, you know, creation in Genesis chapter 1, restoration in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 2. Then we arrive in the Gospels, we arrive in the human and divine birth of Jesus Christ, and then the human living in the Gospels of Jesus Christ. But I want us to just journey quickly and get to John chapter 14. So in John chapter 14, Jesus is now in the last week of his life, and he begins to prepare his disciples for what is coming. So please, now with me, technical team, John chapter 14 and from verse 10. Let's look at some scriptures together. John chapter 14, verse 10. It says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." Verse 12. Go to verse 12. 14, 12. Let's read together. John chapter 14, verse 12. We're going to go to about verse 20, so technical team, move with me. Yeah, John 14, 12. I can read it into your hearing, but I think it would be great if we all read it together. Okay. So believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. I know you have all been, the theme of your retreat is Isaiah 60. So you begin to see how the prophecy of Isaiah 60 is going to be actualized. It is actualized by God dying, resurrecting, ascending, outpouring himself into us as his Spirit, so that it is now God in us doing the work, not us ourselves. And this is the process he's taking us through. And his disciples couldn't fathom it, but thank God today we have the Holy Spirit, so we can. But let's look at the scriptures together. "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Go on, my technical team, verse 14 onwards. "I will do it." So verse 14. "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father." Please take note now, special note from verse 16 to 20, yeah, because it gives us a picture here of how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are one. Intertwined. But this is Jesus in his human living explaining to the disciples that a process is happening where he will go through death and then resurrection, and then ascension, and then the outpouring in Acts chapter 2, where he now comes as the Spirit inside the believers. And you and I have that privilege. We have the Holy Spirit inside us. He says, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper,
that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit, look at verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, says, but you, look at it, but you know him, because he was with them there physically, but he wasn't stopping there, for he dwells with you, that's him, Jesus now, with them, but it says, but he will be in you. This is the way I'm really taking us to, in you, because that's where we are. Where Christ is in us now, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. Okay, next verse. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. That is his crucifixion. But you will see me. How? Because following crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension, and outpouring was going to happen. And of course, at this junction, they were not familiar with this, but now we can look back and see how it has happened. Verse 19, a little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. Verse 20, at that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. This is awesome. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Again, I emphasize here, please, this keeping of God's commandment, you know, it's not a physical thing. It's not something you and I are to strive to do. We are to simply enter into Christ, and Christ in us begins to do this. Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. But incarnation was the beginning of this process. The celebration of Christmas is how God began this process, and then taking us through his human living, taking us through his crucifixion, bringing us through his resurrection, bringing us through his ascension, his outpouring, and then the church is born. So with that, please go with me to Ephesians and chapter 1. Ephesians and chapter 1, let's read together from verse 16. Ephesians chapter 1, let's read together from verse 16 to 21. Look at it together with me. This is Paul praying now. Now, remember, this process has now been completed. We are looking at John 14, from verse 10 through verse 16 to verse 21. We're looking at a process Jesus was beginning to enact, E-N-A-C-T, enact, to bring into play in the Gospels. But now we arrive at Ephesians. He has now done it. He has made it possible. So now Paul begins to pray for us. And if you see, the prayer of Paul is different from how Jesus prayed. Jesus was praying into the future. Paul is praying in the future now. Again, listen to me. Jesus was praying into the future in John chapter 14. But now, if you go to John chapter 12, 24, don't go there technically, but John 12, 24 says, Jesus Christ says, a grain of wheat must fall into the ground and die. Say, if it doesn't die, it will abide alone. Say, but if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. John 12, 24. So that grain of wheat dying was Jesus himself. Was Jesus himself. Listen carefully. This is deep, but let me just give you something. Jesus was a grain of wheat. But you know, in his death, just before he passes into his crucifixion, he tells us and he breaks the Last Supper. And that Last Supper was the last Passover, but it was the first Holy Communion. So in Matthew 26, he begins to say to them, this grain of wheat is going to fall into the ground and die. Now, you know, it is from wheat we get flour. Flour. So flour now, the grain of wheat goes from one grain to flour that we make bread. So Jesus says, I am now the bread of life, signifying the body. And the fact that he's being broken for us is what we remember in communion on a daily, weekly, how often you break your communion. That grain has become a loaf of bread, life, a body, and now it has multiplied. It has multiplied. So Paul, but please don't take off Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Paul here now begins to pray. Now he's praying in the context not anymore of a grain, but of the body. So he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the Spirit, listen, wisdom. You need wisdom to really begin to see what God is doing. Yeah, he says to give, and we prayed earlier, so you all have wisdom today. You all have it, because Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, he has been made unto us wisdom. He is our wisdom. So we key into him by holding on to his prayers and holding on to his scripture. So today we pray that your eyes be open, that you may see wondrous things out of the world. So you are seeing it with me. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, that's Christ, and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding, you and I, being enlightened, that's illuminated. The word is photizo, Greek. It means light. That's where you get photon from. Yeah, light. That light may illuminate your spirit, illuminate your mind, illuminate your body, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. You and I, in us, the saints, can you see? The inheritance is in us. Because you are in Isaiah chapter 60 and you are quoting it prophetically, but I'm also bringing you into a light today that scripture in Isaiah 60 is actualized in you and me by the ability of God passing through incarnation, through human living, through crucifixion, through resurrection, through ascension, through the outpouring in Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 when the Holy Ghost came. But the Holy Ghost coming is Christ himself coming. He's become the life-giving spirit according to 1 Corinthians 15:45. So he gives us, when he comes, we have his life. Now, when we have his life, listen to verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to award us who believe? What do we believe? That Jesus is the Son of God. He's come, he's died, he's resurrected, he's ascended, and now he lives in me. You know, he lives in me. He lives in you. And the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, four things you're going to see from here. I want to show you four things. One, when he raised him from the dead, number one, resurrection. Next verse, please. Then he didn't only raise him from the dead. Look at number two. He seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, ascension. So he resurrects, raising him from the dead. Then he sits him in the heavenly places. Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. Chapter 5, Christ ascending and entering into heaven as the Lamb of God that had been crucified but is alive. So he ascended. Verse 21, far above. This is Christ. Philippians chapter 2 says, verse 8, at the mention of the name of Christ, every knee shall bow. Says, far above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, above every name. Do you know everything on earth has a name? Everything in the realms of men has a name. Function. But the Bible tells us that the name of our Lord Christ Jesus is higher than any name. And it is yours and mine. Listen, look at it. It says, not only in this age, but in the world to come. In the world to come. In the world to come. Please go back. Go back. Let me go back. Go back. Don't take that Ephesians. It says, look, it says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Next one, in the knowledge of him, by the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what hope is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. We're going to the end, in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, resurrection, seated him in the right hand in the heavenly places, ascension, far above every principality, every power, every might, every dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age, that's Christ. Go on, next verse, please. Not only in this age, but that which is to come. We're going to 22 and 23. Yeah, don't stop there. Go to the end of Ephesians chapter 1. Yeah, go to the end of Ephesians chapter 1 for me. We're going to 23. Yeah, so I know I gave it to you, but let's go to 23. Let me show you the church. Yeah. Technical team, take us to the end, 22 and 23. Apologies. I know you've captured up to 21. I give you a few seconds because I gave you up to 21, but let's go to the end of it. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 1:22 and 23. It says, and he put all things, now listen, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the world, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all. Now listen, let me take you to where I really want you to see. Do you know all these things that Jesus did? He did it for his body. Because if you look at verse 22, he put all things under his feet. So he resurrected, he ascended, he took on the name of Christ, Christ Jesus. But he put all those things and gave him, now Christ, to be the head of all things to the church. So the church is the goal. The church is where God is going in this age. It is the fullness of the church that God is now working on today. Our administration today, our remembering of Christmas, or of this season, is to remind ourselves of what he has done, what he has completed. And he is now still now journeying. He's journeying today, J-O-U-R-N-E-Y-I-N-G. He's journeying today that we may reach our fullness in him. That is him being full in us. That's the journey today. That's the journey. The purpose of your retreats, let me give you another picture of this. You are retreating today. You are spending time in God. What are you doing all those things for? That Christ may grow in you. That Christ may grow in you. Let me see. You are studying Isaiah 60, but let's go back and do Isaiah 55. Let's look at Isaiah 55 and see some prophetic words that we are stepping into. We are actualizing these things into the next age. Because I want to close today with not just remembering the birth, but letting us understand that the birth, the incarnation, the human living, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ births the church and the outpouring. And the purpose of the church, verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 1, is that it is growing today to enter into a fullness in bringing back Jesus, the second coming. We must arrive at the second coming. Yeah, we must arrive at the second coming. Because the fullness of the body brings back Christ, the second coming. Brings back Christ, the second coming. Because the first coming has happened. We are now waiting on the second, and it's going to happen soon. I'll show you a few scriptures. Okay, go on. Isaiah 55. I'm going to begin to just tie this together and just begin to praise and bless God. Isaiah 55 from verse 1. Again, another prophecy, but I'm showing you, I'm going now back into prophecy of Isaiah, and I'm tying it to your Isaiah 60. Those were prophetic words, but the words I've just shared to you today is how God has actualized it and how he's actualizing it. So Isaiah 55 says, oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come and buy. This is the age that is coming. This is the next age. Yeah, I know we pray with these scriptures, but it is talking about the millennium. Because when Jesus sets up his kingdom in Jerusalem as the headquarters of his physical kingdom, today his kingdom is in the church. We don't see it today because you and I are the church. It's not a building. You and I are the church. So people can't see Jesus because they look at us and they see Adi, they see Fola, they see Esther, they see Nkem, they see all of you physical human beings. But nobody can see your Lord because your Lord is inside of you. He's living in you, growing in you. But today is coming when you and I, by the grace of God, will reach the fullness of that body of Christ, where Christ will come and set up a physical kingdom in Jerusalem and he will be seen. It is at that time that this scripture will become fulfilled. It says, oh, everybody, listen, who thirsts, come to the waters, you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Today, you need money to buy everything. But the time is coming when you will not. This is the millennium, where it is provided for by the kingdom of God on earth, physically ruling. This is the next phase of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, and unto us a son is given. So a child is born. We are celebrating that. But verse 2, the second stanza of verse 6 says, and unto us a son is given. You and I are sons of God. Sons, generic, both male and female. We are sons of God. We are growing into this fullness until the third stanza of Isaiah chapter 6, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. The government shall be upon his shoulders. How would that happen? Isaiah 55. Okay, you're giving me scripture. A child is born. We're celebrating that. A son is given. That's what we are all going through. We are growing in sonship. Sonship. We are growing in sonship until we are getting to this phase where the next one says, and the government will be on his shoulder. That's Isaiah 55. And Isaiah 60. The Isaiah 55 and 60 you are quoting, they are the government on his shoulder. Come on, let's go back to Isaiah 55. So you can see. It says, oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. Yes. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in what? In abundance. Next verse. We're going to the end of this scripture. In abundance. Everyone who thirsts, go. You're still in verse 1. You're still in verse 1. Okay. Incline your ear. Come to me here and your soul may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Speaking about Christ, the sure mercies of David. This is talking about Jesus coming to fulfill this, and he has started the process, and we are journeying through. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people when the word became flesh, a leader and a commander for the people when today in the church. It is not yet seen in the physical world, but today you and I know this. Jesus is our head. He's our head. He's our commander in chief. Next verse. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know. This is Isaiah 60. And nations who do not know you shall run to you. Isaiah chapter 4, Isaiah chapter 2, Micah chapter 4. Because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. So it brings us back to today. Now we are growing. That's why you are in your retreat. You are growing. You are growing in Christ. Call upon him while he is near. We first called to become saved. Salvation. Next verse. But now we are calling him to grow in him to the fullness. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. He begins to tell you where the challenges are in the thoughts of men. Let him return to the Lord. So thoughts, changing your mind, transforming your mind. That's what you and I first come into. We forsake the world. We come into Christ. But now we are growing in Christ. So Romans 12 says, be ye transformed by the renewing. Those are believers. So I'm talking to you all today as believers. And unbelievers say, come first. You must come answer as unrighteous people. Come and change your mind. Receive salvation. Then once you come into Christ, now begin to grow. Let him return to the Lord. He will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Then God says, if you say, how will these things be? That's why I first took you through the journey of John chapter 14. God, we don't know God's ways, but he has begun to show us his ways through incarnation, human living, resurrection, ascension, the birth of the church, the outpouring, and then the fullness of the church. So he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from the heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give bread to the sower, and seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. Next verse. It says, so shall my word, the word of God. Remember, the word became flesh. So shall my word that goes forth out of my mouth, said to Mary, how shall these things be? Says the Most High. Matthew 1:18, the Most High himself will overshadow you. Zachariah said, after this, we say, you won't talk until these things has happened. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it has accomplished incarnation. It has accomplished human living. The word of God has accomplished crucifixion. It has accomplished resurrection. It has accomplished ascension. It has accomplished the outpouring of the church. And the church is here. And it is continuing to accomplish and grow till we get to the fullness. Why? That's why we are retreating. That's why you are in a retreat. You are growing. You are eating the bread of life. You are eating the word of God. You are eating Jesus Christ. You are growing in your spirit. And it is supplanting your soul. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy. Can you see joy? And be led out with peace. Not the peace that they are trying to do with G7 or Russia and Ukraine and America. That peace won't last. That peace won't work. It's the peace of Jesus Christ. The time Jesus will set up his peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. This is coming to happen. Let me take you to another prophetic scripture. Go on, go back. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, instead of the branch shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name. What's the name? Jesus. For an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. Now Christ in us, the hope of glory. Galatians 1:27. Come on, journey back with me. Go to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Let me just show you a few prophetic scriptures that has been actualized to give you an excitement in your spirit. That if those ones that have been actualized, rather, that have been so, if the ones of Matthew chapter 1:18, the one of Luke chapter 1, the one of Isaiah chapter 7, the one of Isaiah chapters 9, all those ones have been actualized. So will Isaiah chapter 2. Go on, Isaiah chapter 2 from verse 1. And let's close this today and just give you a word to bless you, and let's finish it for today. Isaiah chapter 2. Call technical team. Isaiah chapter 2. You add up all this your time at the end of technical team. Isaiah chapter 2. From verse 1. Are you there? It says, and the word of the Lord, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days. We are stepping into the latter days. Listen, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. Let's answer Isaiah chapter 60. And shall be exalted above all the hills, and all the nations shall flow into it. Yeah, when you said they will be your children, I heard your joy say today, they will bring the gold and the silver. Isaiah chapter 60. That's how, when God sets up his mountain, and many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. He's coming. And we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. Yeah. It's her coming. I close with two scriptures. Two scriptures, technical team, get ready. Put them side by side. Micah, let's first start with Micah chapter 5 and then Uzziah chapter 6. So the Micah chapter 5. Yeah, Micah chapter 5 from verse 1 and Uzziah chapter 6. Let's close with those two scriptures. I want to show you Micah to show you a prophecy that was prophesied that we are celebrating today. And then I'll show you Uzziah chapter 6 about what is coming. Yeah, and what is happening in between. And then with that, we close and God bless us. Yeah, Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5 from verse 1, verse 2 in particular, it says, now gather yourselves in troops, O daughter of troops. He has laid siege against us. They will strike the judge of Israel with a rod on his cheek. Who is the judge of Israel? Prophetic. This is Christ. They will strike him with a rod on his cheek. Talking about his crucifixion. Verse 2. It says, but you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me, the one to be a ruler in Israel. Who is going forth are from old. I like it here. Can I say going forth? Because God is going. But to us, he's coming. So he's come the first time. This was his first coming. Yeah. So here, Micah is prophesying the going forth of the Lord. He was going. But to us, he was coming. So he's come the first time. Though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler in Israel. Jesus, whose goings forth are from old, the sure message of David, from everlasting. So he has come. This is the first coming. Now, Uzziah chapter 6. Uzziah chapter 6 from verse 2. Yeah. Uzziah chapter 6 from verse 2. So he has come. So if he has come the first time, brothers and sisters, he's coming again. Yeah. I want to close with that. He's coming again. Yeah. And the entire retreat that you are on is to prepare you and I to step us into the fullness that Christ is growing in us. Uzziah chapter 6. He says, come. Let us return to the Lord. Listen carefully. He has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. Listen. On the third day, he will raise us up. listen. Prophetically, this scripture is talking about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel. And according to Daniel chapter 9, don't go there technically. Let me just give you a prophetic word to give you this picture. According to Daniel chapter 9 from verse 24, the Bible says Messiah was going to come, okay? And he has come. By the time you get to verse 26, and the Messiah will be cut off. He will be cut off. He will be crucified, okay? It took 483 years, 7 weeks of sevens to rebuild the temple, 49 years, and then another 7 weeks of 62 for Christ to be born and to die. What God didn't tell Daniel, it wasn't needful, because Daniel, he was talking to Daniel, a Jew, was that when Messiah will be cut off until the Daniel's 78th week. I know so a good number of you know this prophecy. The 78th week, the last week of that Daniel's 70-week prophecy, was he didn't tell him that the church is in between the 69th week and the 70th week. It wasn't important for Daniel. But now we know with the church world and the church age and the church history and the prophecies, putting it all together, that Israel was going to be stricken. Because once Christ was stricken, in AD 70, listen to my timeline, in AD 70, when Christ was stricken by General Titus of the Roman Empire, can put Titus, General Titus, you see it, AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed. This is Matthew 23. It says, no stone will be left unturned. The Roman Empire came and they destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple completely. They destroyed Judaism completely. They put an end to Judaism completely. But the Bible says, after 2 days, we know they were scattered from that day. Already they were already scattered in the Roman Empire since the time of Babylonians of Nebuchadnezzar in 600 AD. But we now also know, we now know that following the final scattering of the Jews in AD 70 by the Roman Empire General Titus, that it was in 1948, 2 days, 2,000 years, 2 days, the revival of the Roman of the Israel of the nation of Israel has started. Because Jesus said to us, don't go there. He says, when you see the fig tree begin to blossom, know that summer is near. We know, according to history, that in 1948, the entire nation of Israel was given a land in the Middle East to regather again. They are regathering. There is no nation in the world that has been displaced from its home that has come back. It's only God's people, because it was a prophecy that after 2 days, he will begin to revive them. So in 1948, the nation of Israel are being regathered. Then we also, in 1967, the Six-Day War, that Jerusalem was captured back and given to them as their capital. We know in the last few years of the Trump regime, that Trump recognized Jerusalem, not Tel Aviv, as the capital of Israel. So three significant events has happened in the 20th century. 1948, the regathering of the nation of Israel. 1967, the recapturing of Jerusalem to be their capital. All this is in the books, is in Zechariah and in Daniel. You see all these prophecies are there. And very recently, this decade under Trump, recognition by the Americans. So we know that 2 days has been marked. We are going into the third day. Peter said to us that a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Now, these 2 to 3 days is the time that God has apportioned for the fullness of the church. This is where I want to close with you. This is why you are in your retreats. We are growing. We are growing. We are growing. We are growing. We are growing together until Jesus says it is time for him to come back and to revive the nation of Israel, but also it accumulates with the fullness of his church. The fullness of the church. Last scripture I give you, and with that I hand you back to Pastor. Revelation chapter 12. Yeah, Revelation chapter 12. Just read 6 verses for you. We're going to verse 6 and 7, and with that we'll close. Revelation chapter 12. So what am I bringing your eye to see? I'm letting you see that Christ incarnation. Revelation chapter 12, technical team. Yeah, from verse 1 to 6 or 1 to 7. But I'm letting you see just appreciate that the birth of Jesus Christ was the beginning of another process of God to take us to the next phase of what he's doing. And that incarnation has finished or completed that time with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, where we are now in the time of the church age. Israel has been suspended, but we know in time, all this will reach its fullness and Christ will come back again. It says, now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and a head of a garland of 12 stars. These are the 12 tribes of Israel. Them being with child. Oh, can you give it to me? I'll stay with time. Now a great sign appeared, a woman clothed with the sun, S-U-N. This is the church. This is the biggest part of God's. This woman represents all of God's people. All of God's people, all the way from the time of Adam and Eve up till today. But we know that in God's people, the sun, S-U-N, represents the sun of righteousness with healing in his wings, according to Malachi chapter 4. This is the time that Jesus Christ came to die in keeping with his first coming. So the biggest part of this God's people is the church. The moon are all the people before the 12 patriarchs. Then 12 stars are the 12 patriarchs, the 12 tribes of Israel. So this is the sun, the children, the church, age, the moon, the age of Adam, and then the 12 stars, the age of the 12 tribes. So this is the woman. Now this woman is having a child and she's going through labor and in pain to give birth. This woman is the whole God's people, but the child that she's giving birth to is this child that signifies the fullness of God in his people. Go on, keep going, please. I want to show you the significance of this child and why your retreat is important. Another son appeared in heaven, behold, a great fiery red dragon, 7 heads and 10 horns. This is Satan, with 7 diadems on his head. His tail drew a third of the stars of the heaven, not like a third of the angels that followed him, and threw them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman to give and was ready to give birth, to devour her child as soon as it was born. Verse 5. She bore a male child. Who is to do what? To rule the nation. This male child here signifies the fullness of God's people. The people that he's working on, when it says the fullness of God, Ephesians chapter 1 that you read, the fullness until everything is under the feet of this child. And the child was caught up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the womb. I can continue, but I want to. God is waiting for this child. This child is so important. Go to verse 7, and with that I close. I won't give you the, you can go and study it yourself. But when it says, the moment the child is born, then Michael is able to be instructed by this child to wage war on the dragon. And the Bible says, and war broke out, Michael and his angel fought the dragon, and the dragon and his angel fought back. Verse 8, fought back. Go on, give us verse 8 so we can get to the end of this reading. But they failed. Who did not fail? Who failed? The dragon. But they did not prevail, nor was a plain found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out. The serpent of old, the great devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast with him. Praise God. Last scripture, and I close back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. Yeah, with that, I close and I hand you back to Pastor. So this is what you are doing. Ephesians chapter 1, you are going through this whole process. Verse 22 and 23. Just give us 22 and 23 because of time. Yeah, 22 and 23. So you are going through this process where you are retreating, you are growing in God till we get to the fullness of God. Verse just, if you can put 21, 22, 23 together, that would help me. And then with that, we tidy up. Yeah, it says 21, 20. So he put all things. See, can you get it with 21 to 23? So 21 to 23. So let's add. So we see Christ and his church. Yeah, Christ and his church. Okay, or you can just give me 21, 22, 23 if it's easier for you that way. But I want to do 21 to 23. Okay, say, so far above all principalities and powers and dominion, every name that is named, this is Christ, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Which is that to come? When the dragon will be cast out of the second heavens and Christ will come back. And he put all things under his feet. He gave him to be head over the church. The church, you and I, we are his body. We are going through being fulfilled. The fullness of him who fills all in all. So I finish today as I hand you back to Pastor Folada. Let God fill you. That's why you're in your retreat. To grow in God. To grow in God. So God bless you. Yeah. Let this be a word in season for you as you are preparing to continue to wait on the Lord. I'm letting you understand that this, your waiting, blesses God. Is part of your growth in God, allowing God to grow in you, so that he can come back. It is the sum, those of us that we grow to the fullness that will bring our Lord back. And our Lord wants to come back. Isaiah chapter 60, he wants to bring that scripture to pass. Isaiah chapter 55, he wants to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. We can enjoy some of those scriptures today in the church, but the fullness of that scripture is when Christ comes back the second time. So I hope the word blesses you. There's a lot in there for you to ponder on. So I give it as a word today that we celebrate Christ, the first coming, but we're preparing for his second coming. But I give it also for you in June, July, and for you to study it further, to begin to use it to grow each person, not only as individuals, but together as the body of Christ. I'm growing with you as you are growing with me, and to bring back our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless you. It's been a beautiful day to spend Sunday with you on Boxing Day. God bless you so much. Back to your pastor, Pastor Fola.
Thank you, sir. We're retreating, we're growing. Christ has been formed. We're growing to the fullness. Coming out of this retreat, what would you say to that individual? After this retreat, what next? What next?
You know, that's a very good question and a very simple answer. Romans 12, 2. Yeah, number 1 and 2. So the retreat, you know, is when you call yourself aside to stop all distractions. Yeah, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says that you should present yourself as a living sacrifice. But don't let it end there. You know, when you finish your retreat, there are times of retreats, they are good because it allows us to consciously put aside everything that wants to stop us or delay us or affect us or etc. But once we finish, I ask you to continue in the mind and the understanding of your retreat and keep living like that on a day to step into 2022 with this in mind. Yeah, it is good to step aside. But remember, there are 365 days of the year. You are using 12 as a retreat. But let that 12 propel you into a new year. I said to you, we are between the second and third day. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, but I know it's closer than it has ever been.
That's right.
It's closer than it's ever been. We are unlikely. I'm not quoting you. I'm giving you Bible. It says, in the second day, he will revive us. By the third day, he will yet come again and save us. So we know Jesus is going to come back before 3000 AD. The scriptures are clear on it. So he may meet us. We may pass before he comes the second time physically onto earth. but do your bit and enter into his fullness. Not so much that you do anything, but days of retreats like this just gives you the things you are really to do, which is to allow God, spend time. Let God be. Please don't take that scripture away. That's your Romans chapter 12. You know, don't take, you know, let live in that scripture. It says, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You can see it's a living sacrifice. Why is it living, sir? It's living because you would rather be doing something else. You see, there are many things you like to go and do. But when you take a retreat like this, it forces you to consciously slow yourself down and come out of everything that wants to excite you or disturb you or interest you, etc., to just say, God and me together, or me and God together, or God and I together. But when you finish the retreat, don't continue with this mind of living sacrifice. Living, the living there is that you are like, you are alive, so you can walk away. if God says come as a dead sacrifice, the moment you are dead, we put you on the altar, you are not going anywhere, you are dead. But right. Bible says, reckon yourself, Romans chapter 6, reckon yourself to be dead. Right. Reckon there means that ascribe the cross to yourself. Yeah, ascribe death to yourself. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You know, so let Christ that you are growing in, let him begin to live more and more in you. It says, and this is the holy, acceptable to God, which is your what? Reasonable service. So don't let your service end in these 12 days of retreat. Carry it like this into 2022. And God doesn't stop there. He says, that thing of service must renew your mind. Transform your mind. This same thing about Isaiah 55, their thoughts, their thinking, you know, so that your mind becomes that of God, God's mind, yeah, who is now alive in you by his spirit. He lives in you. That's the entire process of the whole crucifixion of human living, to arrive at a place where God, 1 Corinthians 15:45, where God by his spirit now lives in us. That's why I said we have a greater affinity, a greater benefit, a greater blessing than that of Mary, where at that time of Mary in Luke chapter 1, Jesus could not live inside of her by the Spirit. The moment Jesus was born, Jesus became separate from Mary, outside of Mary, until he could die, resurrect, ascend, outpour. Now, by his Spirit now, he was able to live in Mary post-crucifixion. You know, you and I too, we are born into that realm where Jesus lives in us. So continue with Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. But in particular, this verse 1, living sacrifice. Yeah, with a mindset that we are growing into the fullness to bring back our Messiah for his second coming. It is good to celebrate the first, but I put your eye on the second in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you very much for that. It doesn't end with the 12 days. Today is actually significant. It's the start of the second half of this retreat, and a reminder to every one of us, it doesn't end after the 12 days. It doesn't end after 6. It doesn't end on the 7th day. It doesn't end on the 12th. It's a living sacrifice. Thank you very much, Pastor Adilie.
A blessing.
Appreciate you. And thank you for always being there when we call upon you. To challenge, to sharpen.
Amen.
All these things.
Me too. I'm working on my living sacrifice. Ever I'll have to be crucified.
Amen. Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen. 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 And we have a lot to chew when we get to the 7th month of the year. Thank you very much. I just wanted to say a word of prayer. Just pray for everyone. Pray for all of us. From within you.
Oh, let me to pray. Let me use a scripture that I think will fit in with your retreat. I believe it's from Luke chapter 1. So if your technical team can just let me bring Luke chapter 1. It is the prayer of Zechariah. Zechariah. So maybe from around verse 60 or 60 something of Luke chapter 1. Let's use the Bible to pray.
Very important.
So, Zechariah's word, and let us use his prayers to pray. And that way I can leave you with a scripture. The last verse is the scripture I really want to bless you with, verse 80. But if we, I will read it into your hearing because of time. I don't want your technical team to keep add on their own time to us. So let's move from verse 67, but if you catch up with me. So Zechariah is prophesying from Luke chapter 1, verse 67. This is the birth of Jesus Christ. Okay, they've caught up with me. This is the birth of Jesus Christ. We're going to verse 80, technical team. So I pray it as a prayer. I read it as a prayer into your hearing, but it's verse 80 I want to use for you and for me. It says, now his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the... So you remember he was praying regarding Zechariah, but if you look at this prayer, you see he brought in a lot of Jesus into it. Mm-hmm. He brought in Jesus into it. Now his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. Next verse, folks, verse 75. In holiness, so this again is my prayer for you, and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And you, child, is now focusing back on John the Baptist, and I use that to focus on you as well, you and I. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest. So, for you go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which, again, focusing on Jesus, they spring, because Jesus from on high has visited us, the Son with healing, with righteousness in his wings, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. This is Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Verse 80, I pray it for me, I pray it for you, I pray it for everybody in the body of Christ. And the child grew. I pray you continue to grow. And you continue to become strong in spirit. Continue to grow and continue to become strong in spirit. I pray you will continue to grow and you become strong in spirit. Amen. Please, technical team, last verse, I promise you, chapter 2, the last verse of chapter 2, I think it's verse 52. Yeah, chapter 2, let's use the one of Lord Jesus Christ to also pray. Chapter 2, Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. The last verse of chapter 2. Let's add that one. So we'll continue to grow in wisdom and in spirit. Yes. And then let's add the one of Jesus Christ to it as well. And with that, I pour a blessing to you and you receive. And Jesus increased in wisdom, and stature and in favor with God and man. I pray for me. I pray for you. I pray for the body of Christ today. Today we are sitting down in your own fellowship called the Love Assembly, but we are the body together. And I pray that you and I will increase in wisdom, will increase in stature, will increase in favor with God and with man. May God bless you, Love Assembly. May you enjoy your retreat. May God continue to pour himself into you, that you continue to enter into the fullness of the stature of the person of Christ in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, mighty.
Amen. God bless you, sir. Thank you very much.
It's a blessing.
I appreciate you.
It's a real pleasure. Real pleasure. Real pleasure. And I see that your technical team handled all my fire away in Kent. Everything flows beautifully. God bless you so much.
The power of technology.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you, all of you there. God bless you all. Have a great day. All right, sir. Release me. Can I believe? Can I be?
Thank you, sir. God bless you. And the Lord receive you, refuel you, renew you, and restore to overflowing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much. Praise
God. Love you guys. Love you, folks. Continue your retreat and enjoy the word of God together.